First John's right before Second John. That's for you people that don't read the Bible. You'd be surprised how many people don't read the Bible. That's not a shot or criticism. A lot of people never read the Bible. I was raised a Catholic boy. We were told, don't read the Bible. You go crazy. Anybody ever been told that if you've been a Catholic? Hold your hand up. It's because Protestants don't believe that. If I'm telling the truth, Catholic, lift your hand up. See? Look around. Look. See, if you've been raised Catholic, they say, don't read the Bible. You go crazy. Okay. You let the priest interpret the Bible. So I said, okay. So we never read the Bible. Kathy never opened the Bible in her life till she was 21 years old. Never. Because we were told not to do that. See, we obeyed the people that was in authority over us. We weren't Protestants. What are Protestants? Protesters. That's exactly what that means. You laugh at that, but that's exactly what that means. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. What does that mean? That Jesus is the anointed one. Is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat loveth him, also that is begotten of him. Now that don't make a lot of sense when he gets into King James, doesn't it? Begot, begat, loveth, and all that kind of stuff. But the first part is what you need to get. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born again. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You'd be surprised how many people live in an area of grievousness, being born again. They think God's commandments are grievous. I wonder if they're really born again. I think they've become religious instead of actually born again. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God, that's where I want to get to here. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. What world? The world you live in. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Underline that verse. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus the Anointed One. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bear witness, because the Spirit is truth. Back to verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The title of my sermon tonight is Living in the Faith Zone. See, when you live in the faith zone, you cook it. You ever seen Michael Jordan when he's in the zone? But when you're in the zone, you are slamming them baskets. If you're a bass player and a baseball player and you're in the zone, you are cooking. You're knocking that ball out the park. I want to deal with living in the faith zone. Number one, nothing is achieved without faith, and nothing is impossible without it. Nothing is achieved without faith. Nothing is impossible without it. People ask me, why are you into this faith stuff? Well, I live in the zone. I live in the faith zone. I have many opportunities to go into the doubt zone. I have many opportunities to go into the unbelief zone. I have many opportunities to go into the criticism zone or the offense zone. But I prefer to live in the faith zone. Why? Because the faith zone produces things. It pleases God to live in the faith zone. Now, you know, if I think about what I need to meet financially every month, oh, I'd go into the depression zone. I mean, if I think about how much finance it takes to operate this ministry, we're on over 1,500 television stations. We're on in 80 countries across the world. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lot of money. I have 72 employees, plus all the taxes I pay, plus all the vehicles it takes to operate it, and the different things, the buildings, and everything goes, and my name's on everything. I don't own it, but bless God, they hold me to everything that goes on. You got to live in the faith zone, because there's no way I can generate that kind of cash flow, so I don't try. When people say you don't get nervous about it, no. Why? Because I live in the faith zone. I refuse to walk over into the depression zone. Well, what makes you work? What makes it work? That verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I said, I have been born of the Lord. And this is the victory. Glory to God that overcometh the world, even our faith. What faith? The faith that God gave us. Have faith in your faith. That's an old statement they used to say years ago. You have been given the measure of faith. So you need to walk in the faith zone. So nothing is achieved without faith. Nothing is impossible with it. See, impossible is not a word used by a person who lives in the faith zone. You don't use the word impossible. It's a word not in your dictionary. When God tells you to do something, you're in the zone. Bless God, let's go. Move. That's how I operate and function. You know, he don't check your wallet and he don't check your bank account when he tells you to do something. He just says, bless God. See, God's in the zone all the time. He just says, woo, let's go do something impossible. And I go, what? You got to be kidding me. Nah, Jesse, I'm an impossible God. I don't deal in the possibility. If it's impossible, it's when I come to town. Let's go to town, boy. Let's get this thing done. My God, man, I added $100,000 a year to my, actually $85,000 a year to my budget in Europe. I didn't tell my people that work for me in Europe. I just called them up and said, praise God, we added $85,000 to this budget. We did it just now. And my director said, well, praise God, we don't want the American office praying, sending the money over to us. We can believe God. I said, he's in the zone. He is in the zone. And they made that budget. It's called living in the faith zone. You see, the word impossible is not in your vocabulary. It doesn't make any difference. Lady told me the other day, she said, Brother Jesse, we've been believing God for a baby, but it's been years and years and we're not getting one. It's not happening. I said, well, you sound like Abraham. You want Eliezer, my steward, to be taken, seeing that I go childless. I said, the problem with you, woman, you going by what you see instead of by what God said. See, that's what Abraham said. He said, hey, God, you promised me a child. And when you want this Eliezer, my steward, seeing that I go childless. And God just looked at him and said, didn't even answer that. What's the matter with you, boy? I told that same woman, I said, your problem is you get depressed when the time of the month comes around, don't you? I said, you see, and the devil just knows you because you're going by what you see instead of by what God said. I said, did God say be fruitful? She said, well, yes. I said, well, shut up, bless God, and get fruitful. That's exactly what I told her. Nah, I mean, that sounds hard. No, it ain't hard. It's not arrogant. Bless God, she needs to start believing what God said instead of what her body said. You believe what God said, cancer will get out of your body. Diabetes will get out of your body. And a baby will get into your body. Why? Because he said be fruitful. Impossible is not a word. It's not found in a person that's living in the faith zone. Faith is the ultimate triumph. It has led many people to victory against overwhelming odds. She said, but yeah, I've had endometriosis and it scarred my body. I said, well, I don't deny that. That's not the issue. But I deny it's right. You want a baby? You shall have a baby. Her husband said, we want twins. I said, well, bless God, since we're doubling up, let's go for triplets. I mean, it's all faith anyway, bless the Lord. Faith is the ultimate triumph. It has led many people to victory against overwhelming odds. Woo! Living in the faith zone. Everyone told me I couldn't go on television. Everyone told me I couldn't pay cash. Everyone said, you can't do this. You from South Louisiana, New Orleans, you little Cajun. You're not educated, but bless God, now they're coming to my meetings. Now, bless God, they say, how did you do it? It's called living in the faith zone. Living in the faith zone. Glory to God. It's a victorious area of my life. And that woman's going to come up to me one day. I told her one day, you're going to come up to me and say, please, no more babies. No more babies. I said, you're going to become so fertile, girl. Bless God. Your husband look at you and you're going to get pregnant. She just said, whoo, whoo. I had a friend of mine do the same thing. His name was Carol. Carol may be here tonight. Carol and Cindy, I don't know if they are here. Make a long story short, he said, we've been wanting a baby. And just, you know, and it just ain't happening. You know, wait a minute. They said that Cindy can't have a baby. I said, what God said, Carol? He said, what did he say? See, that's the problem. He didn't know what he said. I said, he said to be fruitful. Bless God, Cindy gonna have more babies than you can shake a stick at. He said, we've been mad so long it ain't happening. I said, well, shut up. The reason why it ain't happening because it's your mouth. I said, listen to me. This is what Jesus said. Now get in the zone. Well, bless God, his little girl Courtney came along. He was so excited. Ooh, thank you, dear. Jesse, it worked. But 11 months later, Kayla came along. And about a year after that, another baby came on. He come to my house, he says, we got to stop this. But not Cindy. Cindy said, let me have them babies. I want all of it. And now Carol going, oh, Jesus, close the womb, Lord. Close the womb, Lord. All he did was get in the faith zone. You know when you're cooking. You know when you're in the zone. You know when you look at your wife. See, if you've been married a while, bless God. You know, you can be in a whole complete area like this. And you just look at it. It might be just a small little eyebrow.
And you think, say, Jack, we're going to be in the zone today.
Yes, son. It's just something about it. You ain't got to say a word. You know that you know that you know.
Look at you. Y'all thinking about it right now.
Yeah.
I know y'all. That's called being in the zone. See? Yeah.
Faith is the ultimate triumph. That's what it says there. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It has led many people against overwhelming odds. See, the higher your thoughts of Jesus, the greater is his power over your soul. Write that down, please. The higher your thoughts of Jesus, the greater is his power over your soul. What does that mean? Over your mind, your will, and your emotions. See, you got to get your thoughts high. The problem with most people, they live most of their Christian lives at the foot of the cross. Wonderful place. That's where you got born again. It's where the blood dropped off of Jesus' brow, touched your body and washed your sin away. Where your body got healed. But see, you can't live at the bottom of the cross. What? What should I do? You need to climb the cross. You got to get up where Jesus is. You got to climb that cross and go look and see what he is seeing. And what he's seeing is the world. You see, but most people stay at the bottom of the cross. Yes, that's where you need to go to be redeemed and to be healed. But bless God, you get redeemed, you get healed enough to climb that cross. When you start climbing that cross, you start seeing what God sees. See, that's the higher thoughts of Jesus. The higher your thoughts of Jesus, the greater is his power over your soul. See, faith is not merely a comfort. It is a challenge. See, it's a challenge to believe and live like I'm preaching tonight. It's a challenge to make verse 4 of 1 John 5 come to pass. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever in the world, you're an overcomer. Not a becomer, but an overcomer. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith will, listen to this, faith will create a tension. Oh, God, it'll create a tension in your soul. It breaks the peace between what is and what ought to be. God, this is a good message. I just got this. I throw it at God. Listen, it creates a tension in your soul. I mean, faith, faith is kind of like that percolator coffee pot. I mean, something's getting hot. Something's getting ready to be flavorful. Something's getting ready to be enjoyed. Something that has created a tension. All the steam's coming out of that little pot. Come on! Why? Because you see, it's producing something. Faith will create a tension in your soul. It breaks the peace between what is and what ought to be. You get so comfortable in what is when God wants you to get what ought to be. You see my point? That's what I'm saying. It's not merely a comfort, it's a challenge. But you gotta get those higher thoughts of Jesus so the greater power will come over your soul. It creates a tension in me. Give me, tell me something I can't do. What happens? My percolator starts perking. What you said? Boy, that faith goes, huh? It creates that tension. And all of a sudden it's like, ha ha, we solved the case. Ha ha, we got this thing, glory to God. And everybody says, you're gonna fall on your face. You're gonna fall on your face. Well, that's not a failure if you fall on your face. It's laying on your face is a failure. Your face wasn't made to be laid on. Get up. Knock the dirt off. Keep walking. Faith creates a tension in your soul. It breaks the peace between what is and what ought to be. God. So it's not merely a comfort, it's a challenge. How did I get married? Kathy had faith to believe for me. Because I was a crazy man. Nuts, the fruitcake boy. I was a rock musician, weird, sinner. Oh, God. Sin like you ain't never seen. When I got saved, the devil cried. He said, we have lost a great man today. I was full of the devil. You looking at us. A chief of sin. I was sinning when I was a baby. I mean, I was sinning when I was born. I mean, I was looking at the little girls in the bassinet and I was only 4 hours old. Hey, what's happening? I know. They said, put that little boy baby over here. Cause I said, hey, I'll let you see my blanket if you let me see your blanket. I was full of the devil, man. I was bad. Don't act like you wasn't bad yourself. Bad ain't the word for it. I mean, terribly bad. But what happened was, Mama lived in the faith zone. Grandma, my two grandmas lived in the faith zone. And I had the sweetest and the most precious grandmothers any one man could ever have. One was 4'11" and the other one was 4'9". Two of them, but look this. My grandmother on my father's side was 4'9". Her name was Julian.
We were all French people. Julia was her name. Julien. Luke was her maiden name, but she was Julien Duplanty. My mother, my grandmother on my mama's side, I never knew her name. Never. I just called her grandma. I didn't know her name until I went to her funeral. I never knew my grandmother's name. I just called grandma. Actually, I called her maman. Hey, maman. That's what I do, you know. I never knew her name. And when I went, they said, Jesse, you want to sign the register? You know, this was at her funeral. You know, at her wake. I said, yeah. So I'm thinking, I said, where's the register? It says right there. I said, where's grandma? She's in over there. She's in that. And I looked at it. And I looked at the name. I said, you got to be kidding. I said, this is her name. They said, you don't know your grandmother's name. I said, no. I always called her grandma. Her name was Elvira. And here I am at my grandmother, and I go to the casket, and I'm thinking, Elvira. Elvira. That's what I thought of. I ain't gonna lie about it. Elvira. I never knew her name. Never. Until I saw her at her funeral. Elvira. Elvira. It still surprises me today. Elvira. I looked at her, I'm not paying her, I'm going, Elvira. Elvira. Kathy said, you didn't know her name? I said, ain't that a kicker for a name for a grandma? What's your grandma name? Elvira. And come to think about it, I don't know how I ever found out my grandmother's name on the other side. But I had to do most precious. They were wonder. They loved me. They called me a little heathen. You're just a little heathen. But we love you. My grandmother, both of them said, we don't want you to go to hell, Jesse. Why don't you marry a girl in the church? Both of them were religious. You know? I said, I'm going amongst the Philistines. I said, y'all pray, grandma. Send me a Delilah. I want me a Delilah. Woo! Get me a Delilah. They go, oh, Jesus, take us now. Take us now, Lord. I used to say, take them, Lord. Take these crazy women that are driving me nuts. I had some precious grandmothers. I mean, now both of them in heaven today. Glory to God. Elvira. Anyway, glory to God. Faith will create a tension in your soul. It breaks the peace between what is and what ought to be. Things are changed by a faith that defies obstacles and laughs at impossibilities. That faith conquers. So you can have faith, but does your faith conquer? Ah, faith is not merely a comfort. It's a challenge. Things are changed by faith that defies obstacles and laughs at impossibilities. I've had them say, you can't do this. I said, you watch me. And it's not just Jesse. It's the Jesus in me. That faith conquers. Overcoming faith changes a dream into an abiding reality. My mother had a dream. I have a dream, you know, like Martin Luther King, that boy of mine is going to get saved. My grandmother said, we got a dream. It looks bad, but we got a dream. I used to like to drink. I got my first drunk was when I was 5 years old. I got drunk as a skunk when I was 5 years old. Fell off a boat, hanging off the back of a boat, stoned to the max. I was drinking beer. My mama beat me till I got sober. I was always in some kind of something more. I'm telling you, man, my grandma's, oh, Jesus, he's a little heathen, but he's a nice boy. And mother grandma said, he's a drunk, too. I know he's 9, but he's a drunk. I tell you, I used to bring, in those days, you could bring a thermos to school. They thought I would. I brought my thermos full of slow gin. It was red. They thought it was cream soda. I get stone drunk, man. By 2:30 in the afternoon. Hey. And they'd say, and I had my thermos. I shouldn't laugh, but by 1 o'clock, I was happy. Woo! Hey! They just thought the boy has just got energy. No, I stone, man. Woo. One time my algebra teacher says, you know, they used to slap a kid's hand with a ruler. Stick your hand out there, Jesse. I said, give me a she get mad at me. I'm going to send you to the principal. I said, okay, let's go. Mama, come on. I grabbed my algebra teacher. Come on. She was 70 years old, Miss Conley. Come on, Miss Conley. Woo! Wow! She said, you know, I'd beat you if I wouldn't like you so much. Where is he getting the booze?
I was like my grandpa. He kept him a bottle of whiskey and my grandma would eat his lunch. You ever been drinking? He said, no, somebody left the cap off. It evaporated. We were impossible tasks. Do you understand? We were impossible tasks. And we were, I never saw an ugly woman in my life. It didn't make no difference. Fat, skinny, ugly, pretty, black, brown, red, yellow, white. I don't care. How you doing, mama? Let me do some talking to you today. Full of the devil, man. They had to pray us. We were impossible tasks. We were a challenge to their faith. But overcoming faith changes a dream into a reality. My mama saw me preach the gospel, glory to God, before she went home to be with the Lord. My grandmother on my mother's side saw me preach the gospel before she ever went home to be with the Lord. She said, I see it, now I can go home. That boy, she said, the Lord used every ounce of blood he had to get rid of Jesse's sin. My grandmother said that. She said, there ain't nobody else can get saved because God ain't got no more blood. That boy. They were so excited. And I'll never forget her. She said, now I can go home in peace because I know you're going to come where we are. I said, I'll be there. I said, tell about the grandma, I'll be there. She said, I got to go tell Julia. I got to tell her. Jesse got saved. Can you believe that? Yes. Overcoming faith changes a dream into an abiding reality. See, faith is an invitation to have real contact with God. See, that's why faith is fought so much. That's how you please God. It's a contact. It's first contact, really. That's why faith is fought so hard. People say, ah, faith stuff don't work. The reason why is the devil's making them say that. Faith is an invitation to have real contact with God. The influence of Jesus is the channel through which we become linked with God. You have faith in Jesus. And through Jesus comes that Holy Spirit and the Father flowing in that anointing, see? So it's an invitation to have real contact with God. But you got to understand, growing up as a Catholic boy, they wouldn't let me talk to God. You can't talk to God. Talk to the priest. Okay? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. That's the only time I prayed. What's that prayer we used to go beat our chests? Oh, but, yeah, she knows. Oh, man, just, you know, so we, Then my mother and father went from a Catholic to a Baptist. Now, boy, is that culture shock? Son, culture shock. They said, you need to walk up here and make a public profession of your faith. Sign this book. And you can get saved. And I never heard of the word saved. I'd say, from what? You don't understand those terminologies. You don't know those things. And then after you got saved, I said, well, we're going to talk to God now. He'll kill you, beat your brains up. Hey, we don't want to talk to him. And now, bless God, the devil going to beat you, bust you, stomp you, kick your brains out. There ain't no more healing. You're going to get sick as a dog. It's rough, Jack. But hang in there. Okay. Those people are not living in the faith zone, boy. Then my mother got filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord. We went over to the Pentecostals. You know why they call Pentecostals? All they had was pennies. Pentecost. That's the brokest people I've ever seen in my life. We're believing God for y'all to give so they don't cut the lights off in the church. I thought, Jesus, let's go back to the Baptist. At least they got lights. And I got to looking around, ugliest people ever saw in my life, gag a maggot ugly. I'm talking ugly. None of the women wore makeup. I'm talking, whoo, Lord. We don't believe in that. That's a sin. I said, boy, it's a sin to look the way you look. That's the problem. A sin. Boy, I'm going to get some ugly letters. I just know I am. Hey, I'm not mad at you. Praise God. You look the way you want to look, but I ain't looking your way. I believe in makeup. I told my wife, don't leave home without it. I saw without it. She not ugly, but she sure looked better with it. You know it's true. Ain't nothing wrong with that. My God, if you look good, look good. What's the difference? Glory to God. I thought, man, and I said, well, man, these people got the power. You know, they said, we got the power. But you never know what God's going to do. Sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. I said, this is a casino. Come on, Jesus. Blow on them dice, Lord.
Woo! We're going to pray for healing. You may get it, you may not, but here we go, Jack. Just point them downhill. Let's go, son. I thought this, can anybody talk to God? Can anybody talk to this God that say he loves us? When I know, bless God, won't let you talk to him. The other one, bless God, scared he can beat your brains out. The other one says, hey, it's a gamble. Something ain't right here. Can I talk to God? Yeah, you can talk to God, but you're only going to talk to God when you're in the zone. So I picked up on the word faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. I said, it's time for me to get a good report. So I jumped out my faith and said, hey, God! Now, I didn't think I was going to hear nothing. He went, hey, Jesse! And I went, my God, he said something to me. I said, you ain't mad, are you? No, and I ain't broke neither. Woo! Called living in the faith zone. I said, you gonna talk to me? Yeah, I've been wanting to talk to somebody for centuries, but I can't get a word in. I said, what do you mean? Because they're going, oh God, God, oh God, 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 God. He said, I'm going, what, 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 what? So that's what the Pentecostals are doing. Oh God, God, everything. You got the Baptists. Oh Jesus, we don't know if you're his, but Lord. And you got the Catholics. Oh, brother. I said, something ain't right. I don't mean that to be critical, but you know I'm telling the truth. I said, can we talk to God? All I ever wanted was a God that I could talk to. And the only way you talk to him is living in the faith zone. See, I had this tension in my soul. And it was driving me from what is to what ought to be. And I didn't know how. And I'm trying to get to God. And they tell him I can't get to God. So I tried to deal with him intellectually. It's not a mere intellectual acceptation of a theological proposition. That's what most people think it is. It is the heart as well as the head. It infuses courage, molds character, and directs conduct. See, but I thought, well, you know, we're trying to get into this intellectual, homiletical, some kind of Greek way of getting to God, when all he is a father and his family. This past Friday. Now, if you're going to be in my office, there's several secretaries you got to go through before you get to me. My office protects the fire out of me. They're under a command. Protect Jesse, because he's crazy. He don't know when to stop. I mean, I will go till I drop. I preach 52 times in the month of June. I mean, I'm going, so I have a director of evangelism and I have the evangelism department and they watch over me, man. I tell you what, they watch over me because I mean, you know, and not that I don't know what to do. I just, well, let's go. I don't sleep 2-3 hours, get up, boom, let's go, you know. So they watch over me, you know. It's not that I'm some important man, I'm not, but they take care of me. They watch over me. You know, Kathy says, watch him, man. You got to watch him. That boy will preach all day, half the night, and go again. And he needs to sleep. You know, I don't know why, but man, I got a job to do. I got a destination I need to get to. I got a destiny to fulfill. Man, that's on my mind. I live. It's at night. I'm sleeping. I wake up and go, oh, yes, energize, immobilize, and finalize. Then I write that down. I'm going to preach this when I wake up. I do that. It just comes in my sleep. I get up. Wow! One time I jumped on the bed, went, energize, immobilize. Finally, in the ceiling fan going, boop, boop, boop. Kathy grabbed me. Get down. I said, I got a message. She said, preach it when you're awake. It's not living in the zone, man. Living in the zone. So they watch over me, you know. I go on a vacation. They got to come get me. You know, they want me to relax. You know, I lay down. And after a while, I see a heathen. I go, hey! They say, relax. I'm relaxed. Go to Hawaii, man. They wear nearly nothing on the beach over there. I mean, nearly nothing. They got them thongs. That must be uncomfortable. I think that would be uncomfortable. The only thong I ever wore in my life was between my toes on a shoe. And I didn't like, I went, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But I just think that would be uncomfortable. So, man, I just walked out there and there are thongs everywhere. I said, look at this. I can't believe it. These people gonna get sunburnt and ain't gonna be able to sit down for a long time. And Kathy looked at me. She said, watch your daddy. Watch it. Jody, watch your daddy. I went, glory! Jesus! Woo! And people looked at me and started grabbing their towels. I didn't say nothing. Just said, Jesus! If you come to one of my celebrations, how many of y'all came to my humble, when I was in humble at the Civic Center? Did you like my band? Jesus is just all right with me. You know, we did a little Doobie Brothers. Hey, I'm free. And I thought, Jesus, he's my friend. Jesus, he's my friend. I just enjoy myself. I mean, I ain't singing, bringing in the sheaves. Listen, they've been singing that song for 200 years. They ain't got that sheave in there yet. That must be a heavy thing. That must be a heavy sheave. I like, Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. Oh, yeah. I like something to move me instead of ringing in the sheaves. It reminds me of Moses and the Ten Commandments. Dun, 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 dun. That's how most people go to church. They slaves and the devil beating them. Boom. Hey, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, and Lord. Not me. I'm Ben Hur. Come on, horse. Let's get around. Come on, boy. Come on. Yeah. Let's win this race. Come on. You see my point? It's called living in the zone. I'm in the zone tonight. Glory to God. See, that's why I love all types of people. It don't make me no difference if you're black. I don't know you black. There's only 5 colors of people on the earth anyway. There's black people, brown people, yellow people, red people, and white people. And there's only 5 colors of dirt on the earth. Black dirt, brown dirt, yellow dirt, red dirt, white dirt. And when you die, you turn to dirt. So what are you? Dirt. And I said something the other day, and a woman wrote me an ugly letter. I said, the only condition for marriage, watch this. Now, some of you ain't gonna like this, but here it is. I'm gonna say it again. You watch my television. Come here. Only condition for marriage is that you love them. Well, 4, 5, 6. Look at people going. And I, bless God, she wrote me a letter back and said this, blackbirds go with blackbirds. Red birds go with red birds. Blue birds go with blue. This woman got birds on her mind, you know. So my supervisor of my prayer department, my ministry, we have a prayer department. That, man, there's some praying people in there. We pray over all your letters. I pray over them too. We pray. Listen, it ain't just some computer thing. We put our hands on these babies and pray. I mean, we put down some heavy praying for you. Especially if you're a part of our ministry, you write it. We pray. So she said, Brother Jesse, and she's a black woman. Her name's Charlotte. How you want me to answer this letter? I said, just like this. Write her back. Blackbirds go with blackbirds. Red birds go with red birds. Blue birds go with blue birds. Since she's talking about birds, I thought I'd talk about a few birds myself. I said, God created many colors of birds, but he created one Adam and one Eve. One Adam. Hang on, listen to me. One Adam and one Eve. Don't freak out, white person. One Adam and one Eve. Not Adam and Steve. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. Are you against homosexual? Are you against homosexuals? No, I'm not against homosexuals. I'm against homosexuality. Why don't you believe it's an alternate lifestyle? Because you can't create. You don't have the ability to create. And God said when you're made in his image to create. And that's why it's not an alternate lifestyle. And you didn't have some gene running around that made you that. God made you to create. See, one Adam, one Eve. So really, the only interracial marriage ever on the earth is if you'd marry an alien. Because we all came from one Adam. And one, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. One Adam and one Eve. Because if you're black or brown or red or yellow or white, we're all interchangeable inside. My heart will work in the black man's chest. His lungs will work in my chest. And God got such a sense of humor. My heart will work in a female's body. Her lungs will work in my body. Ain't that a kick in the head?
Why? Because inside we're interchangeable. So we're all related if you believe in creation. One Adam, one Eve, we all came together. Well, how come why we got all these different colors of people? Well, when God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, there was black dirt, red dirt, brown dirt, yellow dirt, white dirt. Dirt. So some of you came out brown. Some of you came out black. Some of you came out white. Some of you came out red. You just dirt. You're interchangeable inside, but it's amazing to me. If we all cut ourselves right now, we all bleed red. Now, where's the life at? Oh, is that amazing? We see man transferred it to the skin. It's called pigmentation. And it's 1/16th of an inch. That's it. And then you get to red. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good now. I can tell you. I look at some of the people going, hey, it's the truth. So, brother, we are actually physically related. Because we came from one Adam and one Eve. That's it. That's all it amounts to. Well, I'm white. Black guy ain't got no black in me. Well, just sweat a little bit. I bet you I'll get that black ring off your neck. It's in there. It's called dirt. That's exactly what it is. Just dirt. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I know I'm in the deep south. I understand that. But you see, we need to get away from all this prejudice junk and start living in the faith zone. We need to get away from all this division and strife. I mean, we need to get away from it. Get completely away from it. Because that's what's separating the world. You want to find problems in life, it's because of classes of people. And God only made one class, His class. You were created in the image of God. Now, I know you ain't been taught that. Bless God, they want to. You've just been taught wrong. And it may take years to get you right. But until you see a man as a man instead of a red man or a black man or a white man, when you start seeing a person as a person instead of a color, you're starting to see like God sees. That's true. That is a fact. Now, so we need to develop from all our cultures. You put a black baby, a brown baby, a red baby, a yellow baby, and a white baby. Put them in a room. It's amazing. They'll just look at each other like this. They don't know the color. They just spit all over each other. You give them a toy. It's amazing. A little black baby, take that toy and go. You give that same toy to a red baby, little Indian, he'll go. It's his culture. You give it to a yellow baby. What's a yellow baby? Oriental. A little baby go. We can make this better. It's the truth. I'll tell you, they can't. They can do it, man. They smart people. So, you give it to a little brown baby? Not my job, man. Not my job. You give that same toy to a white baby? Here go. What's inside of it? He want to break it open to see what's inside of it. We can enjoy all our cultures. But we come from one Adam and one Eve. You want a good choir? Get some black people in there. You ain't got no black people in the choir? You got a choir that's like this. But you get them black people. Come on. You put all white people in there, it's that Sheep choir. Bringing in the sheep. But you get some flavor in there. You get them cultures in there. Glory to God. And you're going to have the anointing of God flowing out. You see, let me say this in close. Faith is the very essence, and you got to remember this. In fact, you can write it down. Faith is the very essence of the child spirit. What is faith, Brother Jesse? How does it feel? Faith is the very essence of the child spirit. A child cannot be a child without faith. Children have wonderful faith. Put them up there and say, jump. You tell them, we're going to buy you a bicycle. They act on it. Oh, man. Can we go to the store now? We're going to Walmart or wherever you buy a bike. We're going to get you a bike. Oh, they're going to run down the street and tell their kids, Daddy and Mama going to buy me a bike. Why? They have faith. They really do. Faith is the very essence of the child spirit. A child cannot be a child without faith. Wherever there's faith, there's a child spirit. The Bible said, become as a child. And he said, be childish. He said, be childlike. Wherever there's faith, there's a child spirit. See, the world could not get on without faith. You came here tonight by faith. Me and Al could be home. There could be a video playing right now. Why? It's raining, Jack. We ain't getting out there. We could have stayed home. Alvin was trying to call me and find me at the hotel. They told me later on. they ain't going to tell Alvin where I'm at. He said, but I know the man. Don't make no difference who you know, Jack. You ain't getting the number. Yeah, but I'm going to pick him up. Don't make a lick of difference, Jack. You ain't picking him. You can pick. You come here, and if he want to see you, he'll see you. Now, I didn't tell him to do that, but that's actually law. They protect people that are in hotels. He drove by faith in that rain. Jumped out that car. Hey, brother, that's it. Hey, Alvin, come on, man. Let me get over there. Glory to God. See, faith is the very essence of the child spirit. A child cannot be a child without faith. That's when you understand the scripture here. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. You'll live in the faith zone. Wherever there's faith, there's a childlike spirit. Brother, when I jumped out to pay for these buildings, I had to do it as a child. When I live with my ministry and I think of the budget of my ministry, I can't think of it as an adult. It's too much. So I think of it as a child. Hey, God will honor it. Because all he wants is somebody to just believe. Isn't that something? Somebody to just believe what he said. That takes a child. A child. I mean, children love me. I got partners of children. I'm talking children. Send me a dollar a month. 50 cents. 32 cents. Write me a letter. We're believing God, Brother Jesse. I got one kid sent me a dollar. He said, my mom and daddy don't believe nothing. This is just between us. We need some help in this house because they ain't believing. I'm the only one believing. So I'm sowing this seed for my mom and dad because they ain't got enough sense to believe it. I thought, you got to be kidding. This kid figured out something that his parents can't figure out. Little boy the other day at our church, we have a church in New Orleans called Covenant Church. He comes up. You don't think we teach children, man. He said, Brother Jesse. Well, he didn't talk to me. He talked to David Sawstrand, the pastor of the church. The pastor works for me. You know. He says, I heard Brother Jesse, Pastor Sawstrand, say to sow a seed. And I got a brand new bicycle. And I was going to sell my other bike. But I heard Brother Jesse tape that the value of a seed is greater than the value of a sale. And this is a little boy. He said, so I want to plant this bike into the ministry to give it to somebody that doesn't have a bike. It's this big. This big. See, we teach them this small. I've told like to Jody, there ain't nothing you can't do. She was little. Okay, Dad. That's all you got to do is believe God. Okay, Dad. She's 26 years old. She does that. You get around Kenneth Copeland's grandkids, it's amazing, man. They rebuke the devil. The funniest thing happened the other day. Brother Copeland's little granddaughter, Courtney, which is John and Marty Copeland's little girl, she loves me. She's been loving me since she's a year and a half. She come up to the TV and go, boy, Jesse. And she kisses the TV. She loves me. Now she's seven, I guess. And she got on the phone. I called Brother Copeland the other night. I said, hey, Ken. And Courtney said, how you doing, my daddy? When you coming to Dallas? When you coming to Fort Worth? I want to see you. This child just took a loving and a liking to me. But the other day, she's in the back seat of a car. And Brother Copeland's first grandson is Max. And, you know, Max and her are about the same age. Well, I think Max is a year old or something like that. All of a sudden, we heard Courtney say, shut up, devil. I said, shut up, devil. I didn't hear it. Her mother was telling me this, Marty. And Marty turned in the back and said, Courtney, why'd you say, see, Max had his leg on her. You know how kids just, you know, they like puppies. You know, they lay all over each other. She had his leg. And she said it again, shut up, devil. I said, shut up. And Marty said, why did you say that, Courtney? She said, the devil told me to break Max's leg.
I told her, shut up. She said, that's right, Courtney. She's teaching those children. They know the voice of God and the voice of the devil. And they ain't going to have nothing of the devil's voice whatsoever at all. That's right. When Jody was about 4 years old, about 6 years old one time, I walked in the house and I got in the flesh. I'm sitting there at my little breakfast table and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. Jody, she says, well, Dad, why don't you go listen to your tapes and you'll find out. Exact word. Boy, that quickened something in me. Kids living in the faith zone. We've taught that. Faith is the very essence of the child spirit. It's not merely a confidence, it's a challenge. Creates a tension between, and breaks the peace between what is and what ought to be. Boy, I love that. That really blessed me when the Lord gave me that point. Impossible is not a word used by a person who lives in the faith zone. So when the word impossible comes in my mind, I say, shut up, devil. Shut up, devil. I'll not hear you today. I'll walk in the anointing of God. Because I'm living in the zone. See, faith zone. And it's a victory and a victorious life. So remember this, when you hear people preach against faith, you can take it to the bank. They're not living in the faith zone. Well, you know, things happen in life, Brother Jesse. We know that. In this world, you have tribulation. We know that. But he said, be of good cheer, for he's overcome the world. How did he overcome the world? His faith did it. He had some pretty tough challenges. He said, if this cup can pass from me. That's a tough challenge. I've been married to Kathy, my wife, now for 27 years. We'll be 28 years in June the 6th. We've had some challenges in our marriage. We've never divorced. We've never hit each other. Thought about it several times. Get mad as a homo will knock her brains out. I know she's been mad at me. I know she's, I mean, I've never hit her and she was, and, well, she's hit me, but I ain't never hit her. Well, it's true, you know, girl, she's mad at me about something and I was wrong. I probably was wrong because most of the time I've been wrong. But it don't make no difference. Sometime, you know, she works for me and there's several family members and that work for me. And between 9 and 5, I ain't your husband. I'm your boss. Come here. Oh, she don't like that. But at 5 minutes to 5, I fly out. I get out of there. Because then she turns it to my wife. But see, the buck stops at my desk. My name's on the building, Jack. Somebody got to make the final decisions. Oh, somebody got to handle it. And then sometimes I got to take my executive director and the administrator. Kathy is the administrator. And I bring them all out sometimes. I said, I'm going to give you all a revelation. Whose name's on this building? What does it say? Jesse. 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 The man. Me. You got it? Now, this is what we're going to do. It's not open for discussion. They did the same thing you did. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You got to stop confusion. Because the devil trying to get in your ranks about something. Shut it down. Then there's sometimes they call me in. They can call me in. Jesse said, I want to talk to you. What? We want to change what you want us to do. Why y'all want to change? And hey, you can convince me I'm not a hard man. All of a sudden I said, you know, y'all were right. Man, that was wrong. Both we'd have done that and blew that to pieces. I've learned, you know, you got to do those things, you know, because it's the ministry's working. You need more heads than just one. So I'm not the man, even though sometimes I may sound like that. Is what I want is I can't make a valid decision unless I have all the information. Don't come back and tell me 2 days later, oh, we didn't tell you this, and I made a decision upon what you gave me. That makes the hair of my neck go up. Or like an oil field person, that torques my jaw. I can't make a rational decision unless I have all the information. When I have all the information, then I look at all the particulars, make a decision and go. You want to be a leader? You got to learn to make a decision. And then don't look back. Move. Somebody got to do this. See, but now you got to have the right information to make the right decision. And the best way to get that information is live in the faith zone. So when I talk to my board of directors, which run Jesse Duplantis Ministries, I say, gentlemen, And I have women and men. I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is what God told me to do. Don't pull on me. Now, if this thing blows up, lay it on my head. This is what God said. Now, what are we going to do here? They said, we're going to do what God said. And they'd been some they went, whew, just, whew. I said, I know. It's impossible, ain't it? Yeah. I said, why it's going to work. Bless God, we with you. We with you. All of them start saying, we with you. We with you. Sound like a bunch of Italians. I want to let you know we with you. And it gets done. But I don't just go do something because I want to do it. That's what I have them people on that board for. Let's come together and reason together and pray. Let's get the mind of God on what's happening. But somebody's got to make the final decision. See, and you got to be willing to do that. And sometimes God has told me to do something that's impossible. I'll say this in close. I saved $100,000. I was wanting to go on television so bad. This is before I went on television. I finally got $100,000 to go on PTL. This was years and years ago, before I went on PTL. I said, because it cost $100,000 a year to go on PTL in 1982. Now, that's not counting the production. You add another $35,000 for the production, about $135,000. Once a week, 30 minutes, excuse me, 30 minutes, and it's over. Finally, the Lord gave me that money. Thank you, Jesus. I called PTL. I said, you know, I want to negotiate a contract here. They said, fine. This is before the scandals and all, because scandals, I think, happened in 87, I believe it was. 86, 87. Anyway. And the Lord said, yes, I'd like to talk to you. Yeah, Lord. He said, I'll tell you what I'd like you to do with that money. Why? So I'm thinking in God's mind, they're going to take the $100,000, stretch it to $300,000. I'll be able to buy more time, you know, because God getting into the thing. He says, I want you to give it away. I went, no, you don't want to do it. No, you don't want to do that. He says, why don't I want to do that? I said, because, no. He said, give it to your church. No, I don't want to give it to the building fund. No. Lord, you know how hard it was for me to believe for that? He said, it wasn't hard for me at all. I said, you're going to delay this television debut. He said, for life, if you keep talking like that. So I repented, oh, Jesus, forgive me, because I worked hard. So I cut a check for $100,000 and gave it to the church. They said, love you, Jesse. Yeah. Hey, you ever gave something God told you to give you? You're a little disgruntled about it? Mm. It's all right. I said, that's all I had. He said, that's all I asked for. Yeah, I know. But God was turning that $100,000 into $10 million. But I didn't know that then. I was thinking, my God, I've eaten the little cheeseburgers so I could save that money. Not a Whopper. I'm talking the little ones, the little stale ones that you get a half a pickle and a slab of ketchup. But today, we're on over 1,500 television stations. Right now, lady, I am preaching somewhere in the world in different languages. Isn't that something? You ought to hear me preaching Chinese. I ain't bad. They dub my voice. Man, I'm telling you, it's good. The other day, I picked myself up on a Spanish station in Central America. Come on, está usted. I went, I don't even speak Spanish. Come on, está usted. I said, look at this. You ought to hear me in German. It sounds like that, you know. I go, wow, man. It is the most amazing thing. Seed turned into a harvest. That's what your seed's going to do, what you did a while ago. He may have told you to do something. You went, no. I know he's a man of God, but listen here, Jack. I work hard for that. I understand that. I've been there, man. But see, that's living in the faith zone. Tell you one thing. I was going to have a good Christmas till that white-headed preacher came over there. you're going to have the best Christmas you ever had in your life. Because you're living in the faith zone. See? So you get a little disgruntled sometimes, some things. But if you do what God says, and you're not moved by what you see or by what you feel, just rebuke it and say, I'm going on with God. This is what he said. And you're going to have people say, that was stupid. And you're going to feel stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. And I know you think about Al Jandler and all that. He says, we're going to build another building. My God. We got to put a building on every acre we got. What's it going to do? Build circus next year? Something? My God. Oh, wait. Building something. Bless God. I wonder why that Alvin got that smile on his face and jumping around. Bless God. Break his leg, Lord. Do something. He seems so happy all the time. You ever been there? Yeah, you've been there. Yeah, it's called life, man. How come they can eat what they want and not get fat? Me, I get fat as a hog if I just smell it. Isn't that the most aggravating thing? See them skinny people eating top nachos. Say, what you have? I'll have a lettuce salad. Lettuce salad. Eat it today, wear it tomorrow. Come Christmas time, boy. Hey, y'all eat. We got pumpkin pie, ice cream, cake, apple pie. Would you like some? Oh, you want some so bad. But you're on a diet. Diet. And you blame your parents because they gave me the wrong genes. You're trying to blame somebody else. No, it ain't that. It isn't that. It's this. At night when nobody's watching you. Hey, I know. I've had food call me out of bed. Hey. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, there's some pizza in here. Oh, yeah. Pizza. Oh, it'll call you and talk to you. So, boy, in our bed the other night, I went, shut up, devil. Kathy said, you got that pizza on your mind, don't you, boy? But I got her on the phone today. She says, I loved it. It was great. So I put a suit on today and I couldn't wear it. You think I've gained weight? I said, it's just a little Haagen-Dazs, mama. It's all right. Go ahead, eat another quart. I don't care. She said, I can't. That suit was tight. You think I've gained weight? I used to never gain weight. I've fought this weight all my life. Go to a doctor and he wants you to be skinny. Even Pastor Jan will say, oh, bless God, again, I've got to lose a little weight here. Lord God. People are always losing. It gets so aggravating, you know. If I knew the rapture was coming in the next 2 weeks, I'd wipe out Baskin and Robbins. I'd wipe it out. I say, I want some butter pecan bluebell, some vanilla bluebell, and I don't want to get me half a gallon. The Lord's coming in 2 weeks, and son, I don't care. Eat that stuff. Glory to God. That's good stuff. And you can have some. You just can't have the whole box. See, the problem with fat people, they don't eat a big piece. They eat little pieces all day long. Then they get mad. Who ate the cake? I just took a little piece like that, but how many times? 32. Turned out to be a piece this big. You forget about all those little pieces. Kathy, I said this, she's going to get mad at me because she ain't here, but that's all right. Listen to it. She loves ice cream. You can't buy my wife a scoop of ice cream. She want a quart. She loves ice cream. I said, you want ice cream? Yeah. But she don't want an ice cream. Forget that, Jack. She want 3 or 4 scoops in a cup. And she will sit there and eat that. Eat it all. She loves ice cream. And she says, I used to eat like this and not gain weight. And she's still not big. I said, well, that was when you in your 40s, girl. Well, that don't make no difference. I said, it does back here. It does. Look at that lady. I can't believe he said it does. See, women don't know they're gaining weight because men gain in the front and women gain in the back. See, they don't know. You say, it look like you gained a little weight there, mama. They go, well, I don't see it. They have no idea, see? Go. Of course, when they turn around, they're knocking everything over, just knocking. They don't know the game anyway. Men don't know the difference. They see it, they go, I tell you what, bless God. What size pants you wear there? Over or under? What? Well, if it's under the belly, I wear a 32. If it's over the belly, it's a 46. Yeah, that's true. It really is true. Over or under, boy. So I can still get my high school clothes under. That belly sticking out about that far in them pants. Ah. That lady got a revelation back there, glory to God. She living in the zone there, boy, I tell you what. Well, you know, you can have ice cream, and there's nothing wrong with it, but you just can't have it every night, constantly, all the time. Boy, this is a section over here, boy. I know what y'all think. I can't believe he said it. You know, I'm telling you, every woman's going to go home tonight and look in the mirror and go. And they're going to go. Not a man. A man going to go, oh, look at this baby. Yeah. Why does those Texas guys wear them big belt buckles? Keep that belly in there. Got to have a shield. Hold on. Gotta have a shield. Boy, out there, you unbuckle that belt. Wham! That stomach will come out, beat your brains out. Gotta have that big belt. You enjoyed it tonight? Give Jesus a hand clap. Glory!